Okay, so I'm going to start with my presentation, which is about social software tools to support online training of trainers. And so first of all, before anyone actually wonders who's talking, this is Cristina Costa, and I'm just listed in the main area as Evolve Community, but actually, I have a name. Okay, so I'm very pleased to be able to present here today. And when I was thinking about the topic that I was going to present, because we weren't actually given any kind of specific presentation titles, just a topic that we could then choose within that topic what we wanted to present, I came up with this title. And once I started preparing the presentation, I really started looking at the title, and I started analyzing the two themes that I had chosen, social software and online training. And I started thinking that these words, all of a sudden, they didn't really felt like they match. And so this presentation today, it's not really a presentation. It's just a reflection. And what I would like to ask you is to help me reflect about these two main topics, and for you to help me make sense of this. So this is actually my presentation. This isn't a presentation for you. This is just a discussion and a conversation that we'll have here among 27 people. Okay. So and I'm gonna start by analyzing the second topic that is listed here, online training. And I want to ask you, what do you think online training is? What comes to mind? And I would like to ask you to jot down a couple words about what you think online training is here in the chat room. Or as you can see, you should have this little A square here. And if you press the A, you'll be able to jot down something on my PowerPoint, and I don't really mind. So if you just want to kind of write down something in the whiteboard or on your on the network, please do. So I just want to, what do you think about training? What is training? Okay, so we have social network, collaboration, rather than online learning, distance learning via the net. And in the chat room, we have training conducted by using resources available online and applications. Training online, where you says. Training in the web. Learning tools. Teaching. Okay. Modeling. Passing on information. Knowledge to trainees. Okay, a lot of food for thought. I'm going to pass on now because we could stay here for ages. Use of information and communication, using social programs. Okay, so this was what I found when I started thinking about this this concept, what I found in my Google search. Let me just move slides. So what I found was, I found a lot in maybe you can imagine, I haven't imagined that there's so many, actually so many offers for online training online, and I can read you even some of the descriptions that they provide on their website, and I'm not going to kind of refer any names, but I'm going to provide some of the descriptions. They say, unlimited access to our full online courses library, the option to download and print courses to study offline, learn at your convenience. And this is all fine and dandy, but then I started thinking, where is the social side of this? Well, as far as I could see, it's more of an impersonalized electronic delivery of content. And it kind of, in a way, reminds me of what distance learning or was in the beginning when it started. It was just the delivery of content to mail. At the time, we didn't have electronic meaning, so it was through snail mail. And autonomous learning was actually you don't agree? Okay, we'll talk about that then. It was actually about being able to do it at your own pace, but also alone, in just with yourself, at your own pace, at your own place. Someone is writing something about impersonal. I'm just going to kind of further develop a little bit my thoughts, and then I'm gonna let you speak. I'm not sure who's typing, but I will then let you speak. Would really love to hear your ideas, and I just want to state mine with an example, which is one actually that is really close to my institution, where we have actually software, but it's far from being social, where people deposit content. And the tools of communication, they only belong to one person, and that person is the one that runs the show, the person that uploads and provides that content. So the learner isn't actually, I have been typing, okay, hasn't actually been considered in this process. And one of the definitions that I found about online training is that it's a generic term to describe the various methods of receiving and published training materials on the web. So as a way, what I found, but maybe you can change my mind, was that online training was about providing content and providing information. And in a way, it wasn't really compatible with the social part of things, or what we mean by social. But I want to hear. Barry, can you come online? Can you come with voice? Can you provide your ideas why you don't agree? And then I will just carry on with my presentation, or we just can keep a conversation.
No, I was. This definition you put up there about the concept of delivery, and the other concept was, what was the first point on your slide that you just put up there? Can you call it out again for me?
Yep.
Hello? Yeah. It. What was the yeah? Impersonalize. Well, I mean I think it's trying to personalize in many ways the communication bit. Is the key thing, and certain, and secondly, it's not just delivery is one aspect, and the imparting of knowledge, but there's also the dialogue. So the social bit is the possibility to respond. That's why I found the definition rather, you know, very kind of traditional. It's almost like computerizing the kind of classical way of teaching, where somebody talks. And in an impersonal way, in many ways, just to a group, almost to a hall, and then there is and that is a delivery of knowledge. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I totally take your point. I was just thinking about what I had found of all the descriptions of the online training that I saw advertised online, and in that sense, I thought it was quite not. You didn't take in consideration the learner when you just are able to upload and download content, access the library. So it means it's for everyone and not for an individual in particular. And I think that's where the social side makes the difference. And so I'm going to carry on with my thoughts, but I welcome your, because I think this is what's important, is that other people provide other ideas as well, and kind of contribute to the way I think as well. So, and then my second question is, what is social software, and above all, what can we do with it, and how can it help us? So do you want to jot down some ideas of what you think, what is social software for you? And you can drop down in the PowerPoint as well, it doesn't matter. Or you just can type something in the chat room. Okay, connect people. We can play with social software, share ideas, help people connect in communities and networks. Easy to reach, cheap social software. Keep learners busy, interactive. In the chat room they say, I believe social software that is used to facilitate relationship, connect knowledge. Keep learners busy, interactive. Software when things happened. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that in that sense, social software is more than, you know, just connected technology, is more than just connecting a computer to the internet. And that was the difference that I saw in the definitions when compared the definitions of training with online training with social software, where they mean social software is running on an individual computer or on the web, with which users can create personal profiles, form groups, and exchange messages. And here you see the different actions that are addressed. It's create, it's form, it's exchange. And they can also rate each other and build reputations. So it's about the individual. It's not about the material. It's about what the individual can do with the technology. And I really like quotes, because if people have said something that I really agree with, I better use their own words than mine, because I couldn't do better than they did. And John Smith said something that I found it so meaningful, is that social software is software that is no fun to experiment with by yourself. So social software is actually only meaningful if you use it with other people, and for me this is the key, because social software, what is enabling is people to construct, to collaborate, to kind of engage in conversational activities and an environment where people share and where the individual is valuable. Yeah, it's hard to collaborate alone. it's an interesting one. Yeah. So, and it's about creation. It's just, it's about the individual. It's about the individual being active. And it's not just about consuming. And one of the things that I had, to struggle with was how I'm going to present these kind of social software tools for people that are new to this, and 15 minutes is not much. So what I decided to do is I'm going to list a couple of tools that I've been using to learn with others, being it in a role that I might be able to guide the other ones a little bit in their learning, or as when people guide me. And I think this is an interchange role, and this is what we've been addressing yesterday, is that the role is not so distinguishable anymore. We cannot say that we're just there to teach, or we're just there to learn. I think we learn with each other, and I think that's the motto of this conference as well. So I'm just going to give some examples of some tools that I've been using and that I've been inspired to use while communicating and working and collaborating with others. And so here is a very small explanation of which each tool can do. Once this presentation gets published in the network, I will also be providing links to other resources where you can find more information about these tools, but also where you can actually find other people that are using these tools and with whom you'll be able to get in touch and to learn with them. So, and I would like for you to look at the words in green, because for me these are the most important ones of the entire slide. So we have blogs. I'm not sure if you've heard about blogs before, but it's a tool that allows you to create in a very easy way a personal website where you can actually just make a record of your written experience in a written format. So you can actually share yourself and create a profile by the click of a button. Or a wiki, which is also a very easy website to use, where you can actually create a joint resource with other people. And most of you might be aware of the concept of Wikipedia. So it's another way of engaging and collaborating and creating things with others. And now more than ever, we're this is the era of broadcasting ourselves, and we can do it through video and through audio by using very simple applications such as YouTube. You probably all have been to YouTube or been emailed a link to one of the videos that you can see there. And actually, this is a place where anyone can create an account and anyone can produce their own videos and just upload them. And you know, you publish and you go. And the same with audio. You can actually do a lot of things with audio. And the first thing that comes to mind when I talk about podcasts, and podcast is just the possibility of creating audio audio files and be able to also to share them online. And there's a lot of educational resources that you can find online and that you can actually use to learn, and you can also produce yours. And you have good examples, such as come to mind Graham Atwell and the Sounds of Bazaar, where he once a month invites people to interact with him online. That's actually a webcast, but afterwards there's a product that comes out of that, and that people can actually browse to and listen to, share with other people. There's another one from the University of Koblenz for those that speak German, that's called Bildung im Dialog, where the university students put together a podcast about educational issues. So there's a lot of ways that people can engage to learn and also to share what they're learning with others. And I'm just going to flip through them. To them all, social network sites. There's quite a few now that you can use. You can log into and find people, communities that you can learn with, and doesn't have to be the people in your neighborhood. It can be anyone in your world, you know, anywhere in the world. So the borders in this way. They don't exist anymore. There's no learning borders anymore. You can learn with anyone and anywhere, and above all, not alone. Same thing with social bookmarking. You can share your bookmarks with other people. You don't have to limit your favorites to your own PC anymore. So you can actually engage in the sharing of resources with other people. So. And there are other ones, but I don't want to kind of extend the list so much, because I think I'm speaking too much already. So, but anyway, there's a lot of them, and I will be providing them more links to places where you can learn about them, but not learning in isolation, actually, with other people. So my question now is, according to what we've seen, in the sense that there's the traditional way of delivering content and the social software, do they go together? Do you think that these two things go together? I know that that not everyone agreed with what I said about online training. But I think we need to shift a little bit the thinking, and the thinking sometimes is also in the words. So I would like you to tell me what you think, if social software and online training go together or not, or if we should actually change the concept a little bit. Because when I think about training, I kind of think about instruction, about structure, about following something that was designed for a group, and that I kind of get into the middle of it, and now I have to follow. So I don't want, yes?
I was, I have sort of claimed that in one plenary speech I gave that there's no such thing as a teacher. Because I guess that's a little radical, but I guess what I meant was, and you could say also there's no such thing as a trainer. I guess that's the part of the paradigm shift you've been talking about. So if you're, you know, training to me, the idea of training means it's kind of like what you do with a dog or something that's Pavlovian, and that's just a connotation it gives me. Whereas I think we understand what we're talking about, but the way we do it is not in that sense at all. The thing to do is to create an environment or a, you know, a substrate for learning to occur, and so that's what social networking does. So I think that takes that directionality out of the relationship between trainers and trainees, and you know, so social networking is definitely the way we're going. We're going that way. You know, that's what training is about online, especially. So you did a very good characterization of it, I think.
Yeah, that's what I also had in mind, and I'm not sure if everyone kind of followed my thinking, but you know, when I think about training, I do think about instruction, about following a couple of rules and repeating them till you get them, and this is exactly what I think training kind of induces us to think, and I think that's why we need also to change a little bit of the wording. I don't think we are now in an age where trainers are as relevant as such, but we do need the people, and I think we still need them, but with a different role and with a different approach. And the words sometimes, they can actually get in the way. So I'm just going to flip to one of the slides. And so what I wanted to say with this is that maybe this presentation is really not on online training. It's more on learning online, and the stress has to be put in the action of learning and what it implies, and in the learner, and not in the structure. So it's about the learner and how he learns and who he engages with. And the social software is there just to help as a platform. Yes, please. I'm not seeing who put their hands up, but I welcome you to speak.
It's me, Christina. Graham here. I mean, I can see how all this works perfectly for the self-directed learner and the many forms of learning that we are evolving online with different communities. Where I think it gets more difficult is we still have to remember that many, many learners are still based in institutions, and much training goes on in enterprises. Those enterprises are still left. And it's how the social networking works for, say, the apprentice in the steelworks, which I think is more difficult.
Yeah, that's a good issue. And I think that can also start changing if people starting approaching it in a different way. Because if you really want to learn, and if you really want to look for ways of actually developing and deepen your knowledge about your profession, then you're going to look for other resources. within or outside your physical realm, and I think that's where it can make the difference. And maybe that's where the trainer, as a mentor or as a guide, can actually help set up these kind of networks and kind of engage people. And I think there's always needs someone to show the way, because one of the things is, even with this online training, and we have this at my university, for the people that don't know otherwise, this is perfect, because, you know, they didn't know anything else. They don't know how to learn with others. They have never experienced that. The thing is, if you give them some, you know, some opportunities, if you provide them with some opportunities, then they will learn to be self-directed learners. None of us, as I would assume, yes?
Yes, I would like to support the what Graham said. We had a training with very ordinary learners in Germany, and we had a lot of expectations that they could learn self-directed and self-organized. And in fact, there was one person who was using that all that in a very sophisticated way, and it was an academically trained person. She former was on the university. All the other participants were very reluctant in using this sophisticated technology.
What kind of support was it provided? Because I think that's the other issue as well, is that we cannot expect people to kind of run before they walk. And if people have never experienced this kind of approaches, then they certainly need help. But they also need to be helped in a way that it's appealing and meaningful for them. So it's not about just providing them with a couple of links, but it's actually holding hands, providing support, and actually giving them the opportunities to learn with others in a supportive environment. And that has been my experience, is that we have a lot of expectations, but we cannot assume that people will just do it because of our expectations. We actually have to create opportunities and stimulate environments where people can actually feel comfortable and feel compelled to then follow that way of learning. Because expectations and planning, it's all fine and dandy. But we know that most people, you know, they just prefer the easy. They prefer to consume than to create until they get to kind of taste that, I think. But anyway, anyone else would like to come forward with some ideas?
I'm taken with what Vance says there, that where he says that teaching top-down has created the problem I've alluded to, that people can't learn through self-motivation because the entire schooling system is based on a top-down teaching system based on external standards, passing exams, tests, etc. Now, it may be that if we really want to benefit from the potential that technology is giving us for connecting and learning in communities, self-directed learning, then we really have to look at the entire schooling system, which was something being raised yesterday morning by Barry, I think.
Oh, definitely. I think maybe I didn't make it very explicit, but all of this is a new concept, and with that has to be the pedagogical strategy also has to change, and to change big time, and the approach has to change radically. We cannot prescribe what people have to learn, and especially not the way that they have to learn. And what we have to do is to create instance where people feel comfortable to adopt new ways of learning, and to adopt a way that they can find their voice, and that they can be themselves within their learning demands and their learning needs, and also their learning desires. Because I think And this is when we talk to people and we don't use machines to kind of replace us. This is about people, and I think and this was my main argument. The software has no meaning whatsoever if people just dump information in there. It only makes sense if the software actually incarnates the person, if the person, or the other way around, if the person actually is able to be represented in a way that the software is not even felt. The software is just a platform. It's just a way of people being able to communicate independently where they are. And of course, that will demand a drastic change in the way we approach education, in the way that we approach learning, and in the way that we might have to discard a little bit of the teaching.
Yes, but you should also look onto the learners and make a differentiation between the learners who are who really learned to learn and who are who know how to find information, how to select between relevant and irrelevant information to motivate themselves and so on. And there are learners in adults who have a long time not sit in school, and they are really used to the traditional kind of learning. And I experience as in the role of trainer with those people that they want me to teach them in standard ways. So they would like to have small steps. They would like that I show them step by step how to do that. They would like to be secure that that is a standard knowledge. So, and in my role as trainer, I try to make a combination. I take this traditional forms because people feel sure about that, and I include also some of these new innovative forms. And I think that the success is the change between the different methods, the traditional one and the new one.
Yeah, I think that I think I know what you mean. I think the change cannot be drastic. It's a process, and we have to make people feel comfortable in these new approaches. So it needs, above all, what I think it needs a lot of hand holding, and it needs a lot of support. And I think that's the key, is the supportive environment. And in a community that one of the presenters will be presenting about later, that I belong to, we have a word that I think it says it all. It's not about software, it's not about hardware, it's about humanware. And I think that's the key. Sylvia?
It's a very interesting presentation, but we have to look a bit on the timetable. So maybe can I ask you that you come to the end of your presentation?
Yes, I'll be here. Okay, thank you so much. I'll just stop here because this was really meant to be a discussion. I didn't really have to go through the entire slides, and actually we just talked about all the things that I wanted to approach. Of course, very briefly, we could carry on forever. But yeah, thank you so much.